by a dump truck. Was walking down the road and he got hit by a dump truck. And I was just thinking as people were flying by me, I mean, they were getting it, going every bit of 89 miles an hour. And I'm walking down the side of the road, amen. You know, I just think, you know, somebody could just tweak their wheel and boom. And you know what? My life is over. And you know what? Their life would go on and whatever would happen. And they would just go on like anything. Probably nothing even happened. But I am grateful that God has protected us and kept us. Amen. You know, I want you all to keep in prayer. My admin assistant, you know, I got a call on Friday that, you know, she came in. Her daughter passed away. 38 years old, y'all. So people are leaving here. But if you are here today, you should be grateful. If you are here clothed in your right mind, if you have the activity of your limbs, if you can walk up and you can dress yourself and you can talk and you can walk and you can move around, you should be grateful, grateful, grateful to him. For this is the day that the Lord has made and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. And I'm just grateful to him because it could have been some other way. It could have been another way, but he didn't allow it. I'm just so grateful to all the members of the Safe House Church that you so faithfully attend. Amen. Well, I'd love to be in the space. Amen. I just keep asking God, I said, God, what are you taking us through, Lord? You know, and I have my own concerns and worries and things like that, but something's going on, y'all. And I was sitting here and I was watching on this week. You know, I went to the barbershop. I know it don't look like it. Pastor saying, got no hair. But I was in the barbershop and the president of the United States came on the TV and he was at North Carolina A&T. We all know that, you know, where, you know, we believe the area that God has called us to is East Greensboro. And we've been preparing to go there for a while now and do work there. And he was there at North Carolina A&T and he was talking about all the things in North Carolina that's coming in that section. I'm telling y'all, God is strategic. It's strategic. I know many of us people were saying, why you want to go to East Greensboro? It's the ghetto. It's this, it's that. Just because the ghetto now don't mean it's going to always be the ghetto. God has a plan, and I believe that the Safe House Church is right in the middle of that plan. They tell me what they had a big Toyota plant coming down the road. They got another plant coming in. All these things in the Greensboro area, if you don't own your property already, y'all heard it here first. If you don't already own property and things, things are about to go absolutely, completely through the roof. These jobs, they saying, are going to be bringing salaries upward of $100,000. And these going to be college graduates. And all these people still have souls. I know we look at people, but you need to look at souls. And these are souls that still need to be saved. These are souls who will need to know who Jesus Christ is. And if the Safe House is planted in East Greensboro, come on, somebody. We're going to be there just waiting with open arms and say, come on, come on. See, the Bible said, do not despise the day of small beginnings. So I was sitting there and sometimes I get discouraged, but I was getting encouraged. God said, just like Noah. Woo, and I'm almost shut up. See, Noah preached, what, 120 years that it was going to rain. And he kept talking about it was going to rain. And Noah had those eight few people with him, amen. It was mainly his family. And for years, what happened? Noah and them were gathering these animals. And he was building that ark out of gopher and a cedar wood and doing all the things that God had told him to do. And he kept telling them it was going to rain. And people were like, whatever, Noah. And he kept telling them it was going to rain. And then when the water started to fall from the sky, they're like, oh, it's raining a little bit. It's going to be all right. It'll stop. But then when that thing started to flood, and then by the time they got ready to be prepared, and they were knocking, Noah, let us in. Noah, let us in. It was too late. And I'm here to tell y'all today, y'all watching Mark My Word. Hey, my mama, son. There's something going on in East Greensboro, and the Safe House is going to be right in the thick of it. We're going to be right in the thick of it. If you have some vision, if you can see. So that's one of the things I know God has blessed me with. He's blessed me with vision. Amen. I can see things before they are. You know, I can see them. And it's not because of who I am, but it's because he allows me to see a little insight. So that's why I'm telling you all, church, don't give up. Don't quit God, because what God is doing something. And those here at the Safe House, that you're going to be the very foundation of what God is going to do in East Greensboro. Come on, somebody. I believe that if you don't believe it, that we're going to be the foundation of what God is going to do, and he's going to transform in East Greensboro, North Carolina, because they're coming. Whether you're ready or not, they're coming. And what we want to do, we want to be ready. This is why he's preparing us. That's why God is, many of you, he's calling you all, some of you to be pastors. I mean, oh, yeah, come on. Call some of y'all maybe to be pastors, amen. You know, because what, the flood is coming, that they are coming. And the Bible says, like he said, in the last days, that what, he will do what? He will pour out all his spirit upon all flesh, and your daughters shall prophesy. Your men and your daughter, your boys, your sons and daughters shall prophesy, right? And the old men will have visions and dreams. And you know I see these grays in my beard. I'm not as young as I used to be. I'm understanding. Some say, oh, you're still fairly young, and that may be true. But at the same time, I know things are changing, amen. And we as a church have to be in position so when the change comes, that we are there. See, you cannot get ready when it happens. You know, one of the things I look, you know, sometimes I think about in my career and my career being a professor, everybody's talking about equity, 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 everything now. And believe it or not, I'm an equity expert. And I could, it was things that I should have done early on that would have put it, my, would have took my career to the next level, but I didn't do it. And I didn't prepare. And see, now that everybody's looking for this, 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 and that, equity, 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 what if I had already did the work I should have done? See, I can talk about me. If I already did the work I should have done, when people were looking, they would have been looking and they would have found my stuff. But now what? There's a flood of equity stuff. Everybody's an equity expert now. Do you see what I'm saying? So now that everybody's an equity expert, now what? That stuff is all over the place. It's a dime a dozen. You can find somebody who supposedly know what they talk about when it comes to equity. Mm-hmm. Versus like 8-9 years before, when I was first doing that work with my professor, it wasn't a popular thing to do. It wasn't the end thing to do. It wasn't the buzzword. You see what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to tell you, church, is safe house. Yes, you don't see it right now, but I'm telling you that is coming. And our job is to prepare, 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 prepare. We are to build the foundation, and we're going to be the foundation of something great that God is going to do in East Greensboro. We are the foundation of something marvelous that God is doing. And it started right here, starting with this group here. I don't think it's by happenstance that everybody in our congregation is highly educated. We have, everybody in our congregation is highly educated. That just doesn't happen. Amen. And especially in a day and time where they said most people who are educated and all this kind of thing, they don't go to church. You know, they're atheists and they're agnostic and all this kind of stuff. And the one that always get me is that I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. You've heard that one before. I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. Whatever the heck that means. That means that, what, I'm just a floating spirit. I can connect to any and everything. You got to be careful of those people. Amen. Not that they're bad people, they're not, but when you allow your spirit to connect and hook up with anything, you don't know what kind of disease you're coming home with. You don't know what you're walking away with. You don't know what you're going to get yourself tired. It's like walking to somebody's house and just eating from any and everybody's house. No, you have to be selective. You can't just eat from everybody's house. Amen. So God is good. And I just want to encourage you this morning that, you know, God is love and he's kind and he has not forgotten us. That if he said that he's going to do it, that it's going to come to pass. And God knew how much time it was going to take for us to get together. God knows how much time it was going to take for us to put things in order. And I am just trusting and believing that what God has it, he has it, he has it. And we're going to keep putting things in order, y'all. We're going to keep moving. We're going to keep praying. We're going to keep fasting and we're going to keep putting things in order. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep going. And then all of a sudden, just like that, it'll happen. It'll happen. That he will make a way. So if I haven't said it already, happy Easter. Some would say he is risen day. I'm just glad that he did rise. Why? Because the power of what we believe is not that he died, but that what, he rose again, that no one else got up in that 3-day period, that 3-day transition when his soul left his body. He went down there and did the work that he had to do and visit some others. And we'll talk about that one day. And then he comes back. And then what? Now he comes back to us. And then he's what? He comes back and reunites with that body and gets up again. And I'm for one. I'm grateful, and I know that you are too. Amen. Way of announcements continue. The note that the Women of the Well is going on. I hear Sister Pam is absolutely killing it in there. My wife was telling me on Friday we were spending some time together, and she told me something she learned in there. And I was like, hold up. I want to come in there. Amen. The women, y'all can't be getting all that good, you know, food and not sharing it with everybody else. But that's your space, and we're going to keep that as your space. And just grateful that God has blessed us with some tremendous teachers here at the Safe House Church. If you're a member of the Safe House Church and you are a woman and you're not visiting that, I'm going to say shame on you. I know you can't get there all the time. I know life, but you can make it on Monday nights at 7:00. Maybe you don't make it every week, but I'm telling you that is a space. If you want to grow, you want to get your questions answered. See, sometimes as a man, there's certain things I'm just not going to be able to answer. I can give you what the Bible says, but these women have lived experiences. And this is free. This doesn't cost you anything. They don't ask for offering anything or anything like that. They just ask that you come in. And I promise you, we got people who are not even members of this church who faithfully attend that. Amen. I'm just being pastor here for a moment. So find a way. I promise you, you'll bless you. If you go there and don't bless you, don't go back there and I get it. But I know that's not going to be the case because God has put a tremendous word in Sister Pam Hicks' mouth, and he's given her a tremendous talent and gifting, and she's using it, and she's using it, and God's gift, the gift is making room for her. And there's others, amen, that we're going to start talking with, and we're going to launch you forward, amen. I told you all that we work on what? DEA, Discipleship, Empowerment, and Accountability. We're going to disciple you, we're going to empower you, and then we're going to hold you accountable, amen. And there's some others that we're about to empower for you to be able to go forward and use the gifts and talents and things that God has given you, because what? They're not my gifts. They're here for the kingdom, and all I am is a facilitator of what God has given us. Oh, come on, somebody. I am just a facilitator of the gifts and talents that God has given many of you. Amen. And we're just grateful for that. So we're grateful for what she's doing in that space. Also, I want to remind you to on tomorrow, I want to give a shout out. Y'all, First Lady birthday is tomorrow. Woo-hoo! Happy birthday, Lady Ela. We love you. We appreciate you. And we're just thankful for you. So First Lady's birthday is tomorrow. So if you get an opportunity, I know she'll be more than happy to hear from you, whether you call or you text or you stop by or even you send something or you give something. No matter what the case is, I know she's grateful to have another year of life, and we're just grateful that she is able to be here with us and just being a blessing to the Safe House Church. So, yes, Lady Ely's, First Lady Ely's birthday is on tomorrow. All right, so I got, so I won't be in the dog. I just got that out the way. Amen. How many of you are happy in Jesus? I think we don't have any more birthdays. I don't think I missed anybody else for April. I hope I didn't. If I did, just let me know, and I'll make sure we correct that. I think that's it far as way of announcements, and I want to move into what God has given us so you can get some time to share with your families. Thank you all for praying for me and all our travels, amen, and everywhere that we go and gone. God has protected us and he's kept us and he's keeping us alive. And I thank you all for your prayers. I really do feel your prayers. I do. And I am grateful to you all. For, I can feel them. I just want y'all to know I can feel them. If you're praying, I know you're praying. And I'm telling you thank you. All right, so let's move into what I believe God has given us on this day to share with you on this Easter morning. I know many are preaching resurrection services, and many have already probably done that and gone already. Then you have another number of people who are preaching on the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And many of you have been saved for a number of years. You've heard that preached to and fro and back and frontward and backward. You've heard it preached almost every kind of way that one may be able to preach it. And I was asking my, thinking this morning and thinking last night and thinking on yesterday and thinking all week, said, Lord, how would you have me to say this to your people on today? How would you have me to bless your people, Lord? How would you have me to talk with them, Lord Jesus, and lead them and guide them, Lord Jesus, into your truth and your understanding, Lord? What would it would you have me to say? And I was thinking and was praying, and it dropped in my spirit that this thing, all that this whole thing is about is love. How many of you know sometimes that love will make you do some things? You know, love will make me spend some money I ain't want to spend. You ask First Lady that. Oh, no, I'm not going to spend this. We don't need this. We don't need that. But my love for her, when I look over there and I see her, and it's like, well, maybe I can. And I be telling my head be like, no, we don't need to do that because we need to say this for that, or we need to do this, or we need to do that, or you need to be prepared for that, because that's the protector in me, right? You know, every man is protector of his home, and that's the forward and the visionary in me to say, okay, we need this, for a rainy day or that. But then sometimes I just look over there, and sometimes you just got to. And I think about the things that those who are in marriages and those who've been in committed relationships before, how many of you know that sometimes love just make you do some things? Love will make you. And I think about that Christ gave his life on Calvary. He died a horrible death. Crucifixion was one of the worst deaths that you could die because they made you suffer. In fact, we find that crucifixion happened that what they would pluck your beard. I have a beard, and every now and then I get an ingrown hair, and I just be like, oh my God, I just feel like my whole face just want to fall off. And can you imagine somebody just grabbing handfuls of your beard and just plucking it? I mean, just pulling it. grabbing his hair and just pulling it. See, they don't talk about those kind of details, walking the roads of Calvary and carrying the weight of that cross by himself. Yeah, some say, well, yeah, he has some help because the weight of that thing was so unbearable. Because that reminds me that what we are to what? To walk in this thing together, that some, you know, that we are to what? Help carry for one another. That was an example of that, that what? That somebody steps out of the crowd and he what helps them carry this. Y'all with me this morning? So, and then he goes on and what? The Bible talks about that he got beat with a cat of nine tails. So what is that cat of nine tails? Think about a leather belt. I don't know. I'm from the old school. And every now and then I used to get a whipping. I didn't get many, but I would get one every now and then. And, you know, if you ever got hit with a leather belt, you know, that thing stung a little bit. Now you take that same leather strap, split that out to nine tentacles. And on each end of one of those tentacles was like a little metal bead. On that metal bead, imagine if you ever seen like a fishing hook. So, you know, a fishing hook has the point and it has this little thing that sticks out the bottom called a barb. Okay. The barb is what keeps the hook from just coming out easily. I mean, if you make the hook come out, you actually have to almost tear a little flesh to make it come back out. So the barb is what keep the hook from just coming out easily. If not, the hook would just, as soon as a, you know, fish or whatever would jump up, he would just, you know, shake a little bit and it would come right out. But the barb is what keeps that thing from just falling out. So think about it for a moment. You have this cat of nine tails. It's like nine little leather straps. So imagine for a moment, nine leather belts or a leather belt with nine little tentacles on it. Okay. And then you take those little tentacles, put a little metal ball on the end of it, which is give it weight so you can sling it, okay? And then on the tips of those are little bitty fishing barbs. Woo! It make my skin crawl just thinking about it. Now, the Bible tells us that we know that he got, what, 39, you know, stripes, which means, you know, the way we translate that is that he was hit 39 times. Okay, we may be wrong on that, but that's how it's typically translated. That he might be hit 30, that he was hit 39 times. So then, as he was hit, think about it now. Remember, I told you it had barbs on the end of that, so it would hit in his flesh, stick in him. And when they pulled it, what? Remember, they went back to hit him again. So, what they do, they would pull it back. And when they pull it back, imagine those barbs going down in his skin, through his skin, into the muscle of his back, and do what? It'd be ripped out. Every time he got hit, it was nine of those that stuck in his flesh and was ripped out. Now, y'all know I fish a lot, and I was in tournament yesterday, and I stuck myself the other day. And that little bit, I stuck one time, and it was just gushing with a little blood. And I didn't even get the barb up in there. I just got the poke in there. You know, I was moving around some stuff, and it just poked me pretty good. Now, if you imagine if that barb got in my hand, and then it was ripped out of there, you talking about some pain? Now, imagine for a moment that that was nine on one time. Woo! Nine of them in his skin at one time being ripped out. Now, imagine, if you will, that happening 39 times. Imagine that happening 39 times. So you're talking about 39 times 9. And that's why you can see he was what? A bloody, gory mess. That's how he got to that point. Not only just a hit of the leather strap, but those barbs. They call it the cat of nine tails, right? I should have Googled it and pulled a picture up for you. And imagine that just going in his skin. Mm-hmm. And being ripped out. All right, I'm trying to figure out, pull it up for you real quick. That's the nice thing about being able to be on a computer, amen. That you'll be able, oh, here we go, right here. Hey, I'm going to pull it up for you. I want y'all to see this. Because I want you to understand what he endured. What he endured was just, it was horrible. And that was 39 times, right? And all right, I'm about to show you this. Let me That's the nice thing about having technology here. I can do some things on the spot. Let's change this. I didn't mean to do that. Sorry. All right. This photo you're looking at here, that is a cat of nine, tails. You see how those nine tails? There are little bitty things on the end. From my understanding, in some references that they said these had metal in them, the little tips. But those, right, this would like, you know, look like it has little other little tentacles on them, but those tips. So you imagine getting hit with that at least 39 times from what I'm understanding. That was bad. And they drew blood every time that they did that. The blood would come out that they did that. Mm-hmm. So, if you imagine that for a moment. And then he asked me what? Not only is he bleeding like this, not only is he in excruciating pain, but he's also doing what? He's walking. He's suffering from dehydration. Have you ever been dehydrated? I have been, and I notice when I get dehydrated, my muscles have a tendency to cramp. And when your muscles are cramping, if you ever caught a cramp before, y'all know how painful a cramp is. That muscle just locks up, and it doesn't move. You almost have to massage it to kind of get going again. So imagine he's been beat. Now his blood and his beard has been plucked. You know, they put a crown of thorns on his head. Now he's walking these roads. And he's pulling this heavy cross under that heat and that pressure and that pain. So now he's suffering. He's slowly dying. And then he goes on to do what? The Bible says, what? Then he goes to the cross and they nail him to the cross. Watch this. Now, this is what was significant about it. The Bible tells us that there would be no bones broken in his body. So when they went to nail his hand, scientifically, if you take your hand and you feel like right in the middle of your hand, there's a place right in the middle of your hand that you can stick something all the way through it in between like your fingers and your metal, I think you call it your metal carpal or whatever, and put it right through there and not hit a bone. And they did it in his hands. Then did you not know that your feet are the same way? So they said they put the nails in his feet. Because your hands and your feet are just other variations of each other. The same bones in your toes are in your fingers. They call them, I think, phalanges, I think. Don't get me going. I'm not a biologist. But y'all get the point I'm getting at. So the Bible said that he would be nailed to the cross and it wouldn't break a bone in his body. So now he's nailed to the cross. He's not dead yet. He's still there. He's there on the cross. And he's not dead, but he's still what? Very much alive. Then in that, what else? Then after that, the Bible tells us then that they go and he's suffering there in the heat because he's dying from dehydration. Mm-hmm. So then what they go to do is they go and they want to make sure that he was dead. So they went to go and they pierced him in his side. And what little blood and water that was left in there came what? Coming out. Are y'all with me? Then the Bible also goes to say that they were going to break his legs because that's what they were doing to make sure to kind of speed up the process of them dying. And they went to go break his legs and they realized that he was already dead. So they didn't break his legs. Again, biblical prophecy being fulfilled that they would not break a bone in his body. All of these things, they went to offer him vinegar to drink as they mocked him. And if you know anything about vinegar, what does vinegar do? Vinegar absorbs. So putting that vinegar in his mouth would do nothing but what? Even burn it even more. So I want to be clear today that what he did had to acquire some crazy love. What he did for you and I had to acquire a love like we haven't known before. It required a love like we hadn't seen before. It required a love that was so intense that I make you want to do some things. So when you turn with me today to the book of 1 Corinthians 13, chapter, verse 1 through 10. 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 1 through 10. And for the sake of today, I'm going to read the new NIV. I typically don't do that. But I want this to be clear on today that we're talking about this love. So if you turn with me here, I'm going to switch over to the screen. Hopefully you all can see this well. Let's read. And it says such. If I speak in tongues of men of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all possessions to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, and the Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. We say we thank you, Lord, as we come, Lord Jesus, in the celebration of your life, oh God, to remind others and ourselves, oh God, Lord Jesus, of the sins, Lord Jesus, that you took upon your back, Lord, that you carried the Calvary, oh God, for us to have the right to the tree of life. Lord, we're grateful, Lord Jesus, for you sending your son, Jesus, oh God, to die on that cross, oh God, that horrible death that he died, Lord Jesus, the pain that he endured, the suffering that he endured, oh God, but Lord Jesus, but the great sacrifice, Lord Jesus, and the great joy that we get, and we get to, Lord Jesus, come back, and Lord, and all you ask us to do is to praise you, and Lord, we praise you here today, Lord, the safe house is grateful, Lord, the safe house is thankful, and Lord, we love you, Lord, and we praise your name. We ask you to do all these things to others in the powerful name of Jesus, for we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. So if I would use for a subject today for the sake of those who need one, is that love will make you. Love will make you. Would you type in the chat with somebody, say, love will make you. 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 So here the Bible tells us, and it gives us this, they are very distinct definition of love. You know, people talk about love all the time. Talk about, I love you, and we talk about Valentine's Day, and I love you, and this, and all these kind of things. And people say they love you, but they treat you one way, and they say they love you, and they find themselves in something else, and they say I love you, and they go through these things and this situation and circumstance. And I started asking the question, do you really love me, or is there just a strong level of affection? Because, see, love will make you do some things. See, love, Christ's love for us made him endure the cross. I gave you a very detailed description of exactly what crucifixion looked like. I gave you a very detailed description of what he went through and what he endured for people like you and I that he never even met, but he also knew us. The Bible said that, you know, we was not there at Calvary, but he already had us in mind because he had vision and he had foresight to know that this day was coming. He knew that a Peter Ealer would be born. He knew that a Heather Bullock would be born. He knew that a Taylor Nicholson would be born and that what she would need and he would need the ability to be forgiven for their shortcomings, for their ability to be forgiven for their sins, their ability to be forgiven for things that they've done that was contrary to his word, that they fell into while they were on this journey, while they were making this travel or this down this path or this pilgrimage to where they were having them to go. And he was thinking about you and I. And the Bible said that we know that love is not boastful, and he's not boastful, and he didn't go around advertising that he was going to die. Because I believe if he would have did that, they would have taken the power out of it. And he didn't go around telling them that. Why? Because the devil would have did everything he could have do to foil that plan. In fact, the devil thought that what he was making, destroying the plan by allowing him to die. He thought the devil thought that he was getting rid of the plan by what, if he's dead, there's nothing else he can do. But he did not understand, and he did not know, and he did not realize that what, all power is in his hand. He did not know that he was going down to go and get the keys of life and death, and that he would be able to unlock the key to be able to take his own life and give his own life back. He did not realize that, because if he'd have realized that, he would not have done what he allowed to happen. He would not have did what he did. So my Bible reminds me that as he made that trip, that way, he was not thinking of himself, but he was not keeping records of our right and our wrongs. He was not keeping records of how many times I told him I loved him and I did something different. He was not keeping records every time I told him that, Lord, I was going to give to the church, or I was going to do this, or, Lord, I was going to do better and I didn't do it. He didn't keep a record of all those things, because to us as humans, we do. Mm-hmm. We do. We all do. But he's reminding us that if you're going to walk in this love, if you want this kind of love, it was love that had him praying so profusely that he had a medical condition where he was actually sweating blood. One writer said it was like he was sweating light drops of blood. But either way, that he was praying so hard and so earnestly that what it was causing him to almost convulse in what he was doing, because he knew that he was about to give up his life and he knew he was going to walk in this, and he wasn't sure. But he said, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That this is what I must endure. This is what I must go through for people that I don't even know. That the Safe House Church is going through some things right now, and it's pulling its way through some things. Why? Because we're enduring this for some people who come into Greensboro. We're coming here for some people who are going to decide they're going to make they're going to change their life, that they walked into this place and they met you and then they come to know you and they sing your life, that know that you didn't live a perfect life. Know that everything in your life is not perfect. Yes, you got some situations, you got some circumstances, and you might have some illness in your body and some stuff that you're going through. But nonetheless, that God has you, and you have not forgotten him, and he has not forgotten you. And that what you are to work through, and you are to keep pulling, and you are to keep fasting, and you are to keep praying, and know that what, that this love would make you do some things. See, it was my wife's love for me that allowed her to sit down there and have those children for me. She blessed me with two wonderful kids, and I saw when my wife went through the changes in her body, how her body changed, and there was times that she couldn't breathe well, then her back hurt, and she gained weight, and her hips opened up, and all these kind of things happened. And she's right there next to them, and I saw as she gave vaginal birth to our children, I saw some things. See, love will make you do some things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, my love for her puts me in a situation to say, you know, I'd rather have this, and I want this for myself. But they say, no, I'll take back, and then I'll do this for her. Why? Because I love her. Love will cause you to sacrifice some things and not keep record. Mm-hmm. Love will make you stay at home when you don't want to stay at home. Mm-hmm. Love will cause you to say, you know, I wanted this for myself, but I realized that somebody else may need this more than I need it. See, love, I make you like, you know what, I'd rather be sleeping, but I'm going to get up and I'm going to pray, because, Lord, I believe that I'm going to be all right, but, Lord, there's somebody else who needs my prayers, oh God. There's a pastor somewhere who needs my prayers, oh God. Lord, there's somebody else, Lord Jesus, who need what I have, Lord. So, you know, I may be okay. At least I think I'm okay. But I understand, Lord, that this love that I have, Lord Jesus, that the world didn't give it to me, Lord, and the world can't take it away, Lord. I understand that love conquers all. I understand that my love perseverance, because when I'm ready to quit, when I'm ready to throw in the towel, I'm ready to be done, you remind me, Lord, of why I'm here. You remind me of my why. You remind me why I'm doing what I'm doing. Lord, there are other churches that these people could have been. They could have gone to other places. Some did go this morning, and they could go and they could stay. But Lord, it was your love for what you called them to do, Lord. They're in this new beginning, oh God, in this groundbreaking, oh God, in this changing of time, oh God, in this moving, Lord Jesus, in this transforming, oh God, in this moving of the space, Lord Jesus, and these things that you're changing, Lord, you're transforming with us, oh God. It was with that, oh God, that brought them here this morning, where they could have been anywhere else, Lord. It was that love. Lord, it was that love, Lord Jesus said, Lord, I know some bad things about my brother, oh God, but Lord, I'm not going to perpetuate the bad things that I know about my brother, Lord, but what I choose to do is to see the good. Lord, I choose to see what they did, oh God. I choose to speak life and not death. Lord, I choose to push them forward, oh God. I choose, oh God, Lord Jesus, the Lord, to let them know, Lord Jesus, that I love them, oh God, and that I'm here for them, Lord, that I'm fighting for them, oh God. Because, Lord Jesus, I have nothing to gain. Because you remind me, Lord, that my faith without works is dead, oh God. But then if I'm doing the work in vain and I'm not doing the work in love, oh God, then why am I even doing it? Lord, you reminded me that, Lord, that you love a cheerful giver. You remind me, Lord, I can have all the knowledge in the world, Lord. I can understand mysteries and I can understand all this stuff. Lord, you reminded me that I can prophesy till the paint comes off the walls, oh God. And I can be accurate as long as the day is super accurate, Lord. Just be really long and hitting the target every single time, oh God. You reminded me of all that. But you also reminded me that if I did all these things without your love, what was the point? Because when I do them with your love, Lord, I understand that, you know, that I'm doing it not for self-gain, but I'm doing it because it's the right thing. Lord, you did it not because you wanted to walk to that cross. So, God, who in their right mind would have wanted to endure the pain of the crucifixion? Especially you being innocent, have not done anything to anybody. That they were executing an innocent man, a man who had done anything to anybody. All he did was love on people. All he did was help people. All he did was heal people. And because of their own selfish gain, because of their own political aspect, because of what they thought they were going to get out of it, what did they do? They killed him. Mm-hmm. They indulged themselves. And this is why he's sending us warning to tell us that what? That even if you know all these things and you do these things, you only see it in part. See, we don't see the whole fruition of love right now. We only see part of it. Because when we get to heaven, we'll see the other part of it. The Bible says, he said, when you prophesy in part, but when that which has come is complete, then that part that you had, you no longer need. So at some point in time, we're going to see the full wholeness of what it means to be unconditionally loved. So we only see parts of it right now. We see those things that we can control. We see those things that we can touch. But we don't see it full that what you were doing in 2022 was helping somebody in 2038. Oh, come on, somebody. You don't see how you were teaching that middle school class or that high school class or that morning devotional or that. You don't know the seeds that were being planted. That left that mother, that left that father, and now went to that son or that daughter, and then that son or daughter gets saved, and they may never know you. But you're going to see it in its completeness when we all get to heaven. That one got saved, that I got some credits to my account that I didn't even know about. Woo! Come on, somebody. I'm here to remind you today, brothers and sisters, some of you are going to have some credits to your account that you're not even going to know about. There are some people that you touch. There are some people that you inspire. There are some people who look at things differently because of you. There are some people who believe that now that they can because of you. Some people that believe that now they can walk forward and they can go forward. Why? Because of you. And it was not that you were great, not that you were so, but you stayed the course because you loved. You persevered because you loved. Love would make you do some things. For those who are taking notes, number one, love will make you change perspective. Look, when you're in love with something, when you're in love with somebody, you see it differently. You don't see the wrongs in it. You only choose to see what is right about it. You know, oftentimes I get challenged and people ask me, say, why do you love that Bible so much? Why do you love God so much? Why do you love him? He doesn't exist and he doesn't this and he doesn't that. But I tell them, but that's a love affair going on between Peter and God. And it's his love for me. It's his love when I was in the gutter, literally, when my car was laying in the gutter and he had taken me out. I should have been dead at 17. But he allowed me to walk away. It was again at 21 that I should have been killed in the club. But I'm still here. There was a time in my 30s that I should have been locked up. But I'm still here. There's other times in my life that I've been sick. And I'm still here. See, that love, because I understand his love for me, made me do some things. His love for me made me pick up the phone and call people that I know won't even maybe call me back, but just to say, you know what, I'm thinking about you, and God loves you, and I love you too. His love for me makes me do some things that I necessarily don't want to do. And your love makes you do some things. Think about those you love. Will you do some things that you normally wouldn't do? When you change your perspective for those you love. See, I know that Christ, he's impartial to us. That he see the things that we do, that sometimes that, you know, he didn't like, but he forgives us. Why? Because he loves us. He holds us. Why? Because he loves us. He strengthens us. Why? Because he loves us. He blesses us. Why? Because he loves us. The Bible says it like this. He says, what good thing would a good father give to his children? He would not hold anything back. And such is our Heavenly Father. No good thing will he hold back from you and I. I ask you, what will love make you do? My second point for those who are taking notes today, love makes you endure. This is one of the underestimated characteristics of love, I do believe, is that love will make you endure some things. Love will make you say yes when you really want to say no. Love will make you say no when you really want to say yes. Love will make you stay when you want to walk out that door. Love will make you, you know, go back and redo some things when you really don't want to do it. See, it's that love. Love is just more, is much more than just a feeling. We call that affection. But love is a decision that I make each and every day. See, it was a decision that Christ made to go up on that cross. As the Demeter had sung this song, he said he could have called angels from on high. They would have came down to his side and they would have carried him away. He could have smote his hand and everybody on that earth could have been dead. But he made a decision. And she said in that song that he decided to stay on Calvary. And I want to be very clear today and make no mistake about it that there's a decision that you make to love somebody. There's a decision that you make to love your children and to love your wife and to love your husband. And to love your family members, no matter how they treat you. There's a decision to be made to love people you work with, no matter how they treat you. There's a decision to be made to love the individuals and love thy neighbor as thyself, no matter how well or how bad they treat you. I want to be clear today that there was a decision that Christ made on Calvary. And that decision was to give you and I the opportunity to the tree of life. And I'm asking you today, what decisions will you make? What would love make you do? What would love make you reconsider? What would love make you change your mind about? What would love allow you to endure? He endured the pain and the suffering of crucifixion for you and I. His love made him do that. Not my will, but thy will be done. Will you make that decision? What will your love make you do? I'm asking you to ask yourself, what will your love make you do? And see, as I move on to my third point, love, it will make you change your mind. He said what? Let there be what? A renewing of the mind. Because I love Christ, there's a renewing that goes on in my mind. That I change my ways. I change my thoughts. Thoughts are what? Decisions that I make. And these decisions that I make not only impact me, but but they impact others around me. If you decide to quit today, what would change in somebody else's life? If you decided to walk out of your marriage today, what would change in somebody else's life? If you decided to walk away from your children today, what changes would happen? If you decided to quit your job today and not have another job and not have another situation, what would happen to those who depend on you? See, these things are love too. It makes you make some things. It's a mindset shift because you understand that I'm not working for me, but I'm working for him. So I have to remind myself sometimes at work that, Peter, you're not working for the man, but you're working for him. So when they treat you bad, when they call you out your name, when they call you everything but a child of God and you're just doing what you're supposed to be doing, you have to remind yourself the love that he endured for you on the cross. And it's already under the blood. Look, when that husband or that wife has made you so mad that you're about to blow your top, and you don't know, you over there, you're crying and you're shaking and all these things that sometimes that people do when they're mad. Just remind yourself of the love that he endured on the cross as he was carrying it at the Calvary, that when he could have been so mad that he could have just blew his breath and smote everybody there. When your children do things that make you upset and they disappoint you, and sometimes these things happen and they make poor decisions and they don't, just remind yourself of the love that he had for you when you were making poor decisions too, and the mercy that he gave you. And now with that mercy, look at you now that you come around and now you're going in a different direction and things are getting better and God is opening up doors. Remind yourself that love will make you do these things. Love will make your mind shift because there's a decision that's been made. And I'm grateful that he's decided to stay on that cross, to go down in that grave and to come up out of that grave and give us the right to the tree of life. So I remind you today, what will love make you do? As Tina Turner famously said, what does love got to do with it? And I'm here to tell you today, everything. Love has everything to do with it. And it's because of his love that we are here. It's because of his love that we are here and we live in as well as we're living. It's because of his love and his grace towards us. What is Easter about? It's about love. It's not about the Easter bunny. It's not about Easter and people trying to meet, oh, it's a pagan holiday. But I know what it is. People can make things anything they want. You can take the Bible and make it filthy if you wanted to. But for those of us who know, we know it's about his love. So as you have your Easter dinners today, as you spend time with family and friends today, and some of you, maybe you just sleep the whole day, I want you to know that you can do that today because of his love. God bless you all. Love you all. I hope that you found this message to be a blessing to you all today, that you found you where you are. And I want to pray with you before we leave on this day, to know that God is good and his mercy endure forever. Let us pray. Oh Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, Lord. We just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you for this day on today. Lord, we praise your name, Lord Jesus. I say, Lord, we thank you for the worship that's going on this day, Lord. We thank you for, Lord Jesus, all that you've done, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your power, Lord. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your strength, Lord. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for your peace, Lord Jesus, your place to endure, Lord Jesus. Lord, I ask you, watch them and you keep your people on today, Lord Jesus. Bless them, oh God. Touch them like only you can. Love on them like only you can. Strengthen them, oh God, like only you can. Help them, oh God, to be who it is that you have them to be, to do what it is you have them to do, Lord, to go where you have them to go, to say what you have them to say, to live how you have them to live and to pray how you have them to pray. Lord, I ask you, Lord Jesus, you remove malice from our heart, oh God, any unkindness, Lord Jesus, but put peace and love and strength, oh God, Lord, and we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless us, oh God, they're not going in and not going out, oh God. Help your people, oh God, Lord Jesus, to know, Lord Jesus, that you're not mocked, Lord, that if you said that you're going to do it, that it's going to come to pass, oh God, Lord, and we just honor you for that. Lord, we praise your name for that, Lord, and we give your name the honor and the praise, Lord Jesus, the glory and the power, Lord, for it's yours and yours alone. And Lord, we just, I love you, oh God, and we praise you, oh God, and we ask that you help us, oh God, to be who it is that you call us to be, to do what you caused to do, to say what you caused to say, Lord. Give us the power to stand, oh God. And when we've done all we can do to stand, Lord, just stand with our lives burned against us, oh God. Open up doors for your people financially, oh God. Bless them, oh God. Keep them, oh God. Lord, you help them, Lord, to make good decisions, oh God. Love on them, Lord, like only you can, Lord. And we thank you for that in the name of Jesus, Lord. We ask that you sustain marriages, oh God. Lord, you that minds be changed, oh God. Lord, you that forgiveness be given, oh God. Bless them, oh God. Strengthen them, oh God. Lord, you ask that you touch children, oh God. Lord, you bless relationships with them, oh God. Open up doors for them, oh God. Help them, oh God. Lord, love on them, oh God, like only you can. Lord, you bless them, oh God. Keep them, oh God. Let them know, Lord, you bless relationships with brothers and sisters, oh God. Lord, you keep them, oh God. Endure, Lord Jesus. Let them endure hardness as a good soldier, oh God. To know, Lord, that weeping may endure for a night, but that joy comes in the morning, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, and we love you for all that you're doing. Lord, I ask you to continue to watch them and keep protect your people on this day, Lord. Help them to go forward, Lord Jesus. And give their name all the honor and all the praise, the glory and the power, Lord, for it belongs to you and you alone. For we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, I ask you bless Sister Hardy, oh God, Lord Jesus. They buried her mother on yesterday, Lord Jesus. Sister Stephanie, oh God, bless them, oh God. Keep them, oh God, as they endure, oh God, Lord Jesus. The broken heart, oh God, but Lord Jesus, you know, Lord, and we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to continue, Lord Jesus, to watch us. Maxine Lafada, oh God, Lord Jesus, Fadden, Lord, I ask you to bless and keep, oh God, who lost a child on just on Friday, oh God. But Lord, you know, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, and we love you, Lord, for you don't make mistakes, oh God. Lord, and I ask that you keep your hand on us, oh God. Bless our families, oh God, and help us to go forward. We ask you to do all these things to others in the powerful name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Are you happy in Jesus on today? Are you happy, 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 happy? Happy in Jesus on this morning. I ask that you all help us get happy. What we need is offering time in the church. Offering time, offering time, offering time, offering time. All right. For those of all who know the offering time here, I ask that you please give an offering here on today. Uh-oh, my thing is muted here. I don't know what's going on here. But anyway, at any rate, let me see. Hey, there we go. All right, Safe House Church here. You can give an offering at the app, the Cash App, $, Safe House Church, GSO. Again, that's $, Safe House Church, GSO, or paypal.me/ministry8. You can get paypal.me/ministry8. Remember St. Luke 6:38, it says this, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, that men shall give unto your bosom. And I thank you, we thank you for the support of this ministry, amen, as we continue to build our accounts, amen, and we build our accounts, because I believe y'all, East Greensboro, we are coming. I don't know how he going to do it, but I believe in y'all ain't messing with my faith. As my granddaddy used to always say, y'all not messing with my faith. I just believe that he's going to do it. Amen, amen. Time is good. I got y'all out of here 10:30, an hour and a half, and you can't beat that for church, amen, and you didn't even leave your house, most of you. So God bless you. I love you. I continue to pray for us as I pray for you all our travels and things that we have to do during the week. God bless you. I love you all. Remember, we will have prayer service, our prayer on the morning at 6 a.m. We'll be there in prayer at 6 a.m. Just so grateful to all of you all who are so faithful to that space. Don't forget, I think on this Monday they actually have the night off out here. So on this Monday there will be no women's at the well. So please enjoy yourself, enjoy your Easter Monday off, enjoy yourself. But please, I'm telling y'all, y'all are missing it. I want to be in there. But like I said, that's y'all's space. So y'all go and enjoy, and God bless you all in that space. Amen. I see, you know, one or two people say they're happy in Jesus. I know I am. God bless you all. I love you all. You all take care. Have a wonderful, wonderful, and happy Easter Resurrection Day. But know that God is good, and something good is going to happen to you this week. Take care. Love you. Bye-bye. Remember this. Walk by faith and not by sight. Take care. Bye-bye.